and welcome to the broadcast with Amanda, Shandy, and Colleen. My name is Colleen.
I'm Shandy.
Oh, no, I messed it up already.
I'm Amanda. Wait my turn.
We're doing great so far. We only messed up literally the first time somebody could speak.
Yeah.
You know what?
That's a great start.
I thought about figuring that out before we started, but then I was like, yeah, whatever. It'll be fine. It wasn't. Whatever.
Are you going to go? Am I going to go? Are you going to go?
I would say we have to go in alphabetical order, but Shandy is logged into the account that has my name on it, so it'd be like Amanda and Colleen and Colleen.
Well, no, you actually come up as Jay.
Oh, that's because I'm on the Lost Podcast one. That's right.
Yep.
Surprise, I'm not Jay. Anyway, guys, welcome to the show. We are here for the party, obviously. We are an explicit podcast, but this...
Just get that out of the way.
Exactly. This is a broadcast, and essentially, we are going to be talking about anything from personal anecdotes to current events to listener-driven discussions, so... We welcome, you know, any kind of questions, comments, whatever from you guys. And, you know, we just want to have fun and hang out. And God, now I sound like a college kid. So somebody else take over. I'm not that far removed from college, you know.
Only like 10 years.
Only literally 10 years because we're all 32 or Amanda, you're July, so Amanda is 4 weeks from being, you're July 12th, right? Shandy and I are 32, you're 4 weeks from that, so we're all middle-aged women.
Middle-aged?
What planet is that middle-aged?
I'm just kidding.
Maybe in like the 1500s that was middle-aged.
I think actually, 15 was middle-aged in the 1500s.
No, that was childbearing years. What are you talking about? 1560.
I did read a comment on Yik Yak recently, which is what all the youngins are doing, so that's too old for us. But I read a comment that was asking about cougars and how old a cougar was, and the person was like, oh, you know, like 30 and up. It's like, what?
No.
So apparently we're either middle-aged or cougars or both.
Oh, but, dear.
Yeah.
Okay, well, now I'm a little depressed.
I feel great. Yep, feel really awesome. Hold on.
There's our first question to put out to the listeners. When's the cutoff for cougarism?
Can we get a definition,
please?
Please. Oh, my God. Okay. Somebody, we need to check the Urban Dictionary, like, immediately. Oh, my God.
Andrew.
Okay. Do you really want me to read the Urban Dictionary definition?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So, a 35-plus-year-old female who is on the hunt for a much younger, energetic, willing to do anything male.
A 35 or older woman?
I'm so 3 years from being a cougar.
Okay. Question here. What is a 35 or older man called then? Because I feel like that's pretty
a bro.
Common.
No, I don't know.
A stud.
That's a good point.
Like whatever the direct opposite of cougar is.
Still young enough to not be advanced paternal age.
Yep.
Okay, nobody gets that. When you're 35 or older, you're considered advanced maternal age, so you get all these cool special tests done for yourself at the OBGYN.
Yes, here we come down on the have and have nots of kids, I guess.
Just the have and had nots of kids when you're 35 or older, I guess.
No, like those who have had kids know what Colleen's talking about. Those who have not had kids have kids.
I know, that's why I realized when I made the joke that some of our listeners might laugh and the others are like, what is she talking about?
Yeah, no, I'm actually not certain what you are talking about. So wait, what's the term?
I'm taking a picture of us for Snapchat. See? Take that. I know what Snapchat is.
Yeah, you're better than me. I don't Snapchat.
Oh man, we need to get you on the snap.
Yeah, I like felt so old this weekend. One of my younger 20-something friends was showing me how to Snapchat, and I was like, I've never felt so old in my life. I was like, oh, what does that do?
I felt like
oh,
that too.
Is that anime? I'm like, yeah, no, I felt way too old. It's really.
It's incidentally, it's very fun.
Yeah, no, it does seem really fun, but it's like it's too much stuff.
Too much stuff.
To Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. Like, it's too many things to check in a given day. I don't got that kind of time.
Yeah. Well, now I've added Yik Yak, not to actually use, but just to see what the kids are up to. So that's
definitely
a time suck.
What is Yik Yak? What does it do?
I had that feeling also of feeling like very old when I was taught about Yik Yak, except the weird thing is it was a bunch of dudes who are actually like my age who taught me about Yik Yak. So I don't know how they knew about it. But
well, is it primarily like young females on it?
Yeah, well, because they're
it depends
in the time
where you
and
live.
We're cougars.
Right.
That's what it is.
That's how that is. No,
yeah.
It's not like, well, I'm sure people hook up on it, but it's not like, it wasn't created to be a dating website or anything. It's just, it's kind of like Twitter, but anonymous and like grouped by what they call their herd, which is just like geography. So you're if you get on Yik Yak, you'll be looking at what everyone's saying, like around where you live. Okay. So
she just uses to spy on the kids that she teaches to determine whether or not they're worthy of that. They're at 89 and a half. Do they get that extra point because they're not? They're like talking about how they're studying on Yik Yak, or they're talking about how they were in the club until 5 a.m. on Yik Yak. Like, what am I going to do here? And that's why, boys and girls, that's why social media is important.
Well, wait, if you said if it's anonymous, then how do you know who it is? Like,
that's just it. I don't. But no, but it's interesting just to get the general like feel for what's going on with that group. So
I feel you.
Yeah, you'll see them all collectively freak out about something and then freak out about something else. And it's interesting.
Good times.
Yeah.
So I guess... if we want to introduce ourselves a little bit, we all know a little bit about Shandy.
You might know me from the tribe. I'm here in California. I'm the only one on the West Coast on this podcast. And I don't know. I don't even know what to say about myself.
You speak French.
Oh, yes. Well, that's a running joke on the tribe. I do speak French.
You're married to a Frenchman.
Yes, a lot of things French. I lived in France. if you're, you know, there's a theme here. Lots of French stuff, lots of Survivor stuff, because that's also something that I like enough to podcast about. And I also like to talk about, women and... I hate to say women's issues, because it's, like, everyone's issues, but whatever. I'm, like, usually the resident feminist on the Tribe podcast. So
Shandy stands with Planned Parenthood no matter what.
Amen, sister.
There you go. So that's me.
She also burnt her bra once, but, you know.
Shut up! Really?
No, I've never actually burned a bra, but I'm sort of like bra optional.
Aren't we all, though?
So a burning bra now has to be part of our real world.
Yes. So I guess maybe since we're kind of integrating with the Jay and Jack Network and they have their Patreon thing, maybe if we hit a Patreon level, Shandy will burn a bra on video.
Oh my God, please.
Yeah,
I'll do it.
I will totally
awesome.
Do that.
I love it.
Yeah. Okay, we'll make that an option. Stand by for next episode. I'm going to write that down on my notes to follow up on. Shandy Bra Patreon. And we will figure that out.
I love that the note is just Shandy Bra Patreon, because that really, like, you don't know exactly what's going to happen. You might remember that wrong. You're like, is Shandy supposed to be wearing a bra on Patreon? Is she supposed to be...
Luckily, I'm still sober enough that I think I'm going to remember this part of the podcast.
Draw a little flame next to it. That'll help.
Okay, that's a good one.
A flame.
Okay, my flame looks like a flower, but we're gonna roll with it.
Raw flour. As long as you can read it. Perfect.
Fantastic.
So, Amanda, would you like to tell people about who you are?
My goodness. Yeah, I guess I'm kind of new to the podcasting world. I've always just sort of moonlit in it. I don't know if people remember from back in the rooftop session days.
Of Metrobus.
Colleen and I, of Metrobus, yes. Colleen and I were roommates before she went off and, yeah, got married and spawned and did all that stuff.
It's true. Yeah, I did leave you to get married. I'm so sorry about that.
You did. It's okay. It all turned out all right for me. Yeah, still living in New York. I'm now in Brooklyn and still working in television. And I'm an avid podcast listener, so it's exciting to dip my toe back into actually making one.
You, last time that you appeared on Metrobuzz, you were promoting the film Trickster that you were producing. And now it's been, oh my God, it's been 4 years. That was July 2012. It's been 4 years. Yeah. So do you have an update in the last 4 years?
Yeah. Trickster has been, Trickster was my baby. While you were off actually having a human baby, I had a film baby.
I wonder which one financially hurt more. It's a toss up.
Trickster was crowdfunded. Oh my God. Imagine if you could crowdfund your baby.
Oh my God, guys. I will have another baby and you can name it if we get to a certain Patreon level. Okay.
Oh my God. You can start a Kickstarter for your next baby. Yeah, no, Trickster is done. We, had a really nice, film festival tour last year and we just launched on iTunes and VHX back in April. So we are currently selling, both those places. And yeah, and we're sort of working out an educational package. So it's still part of my life. But yeah.
Because I know that you did like Tribeca Film Festival, right? And you did a bunch of other things.
We did not. No. We're smaller film than that.
What's the picture of you in the pretty red dress that I like?
We premiered at the Soho International Film Festival here in New York.
It's
wonderful festival, much smaller scale than Tribeca, but really a great festival and really wonderful for us because we really wanted to premiere in New York where 90% of the film was shot and where 90% of the creative team is based. So it was just really cool to, like, after all this work, to be in a crowded, full, real movie theater. While your friends and families and supporters sitting there watching your film.
Do you have any fun, awesome stories from those days?
I mean, not really, because I actually ended up not going. That was the only festival of our run that I was able to go to. We did one out on the West Coast that I missed. We did one in New Jersey that I missed. We did one in North Carolina.
You could have stayed with me if you like a 2-hour commute.
I know.
But, you know.
I know. I thought about it. It was right when, I was just getting back from Oktoberfest, and I was convinced I was out of vacation days at work, so I didn't think I had enough days to take it off.
Did you go to Oktoberfest like 6 months ago?
I went to back in end of September.
Because you went the same time that my sister Christy went to Oktoberfest.
Yeah, I went the week before her. She was the second week.
Yeah.
I'm actually drinking out of my 2015 Oktoberfest collective clay mug.
Man, I'm so jealous.
Yeah, it was. I also have one of the big, like, liter beer steins that you get in Oktoberfest that you're not supposed to take out.
Oh, so does my sister. She gave it to my dad as a present. It was, like, smuggled out of the country, but, you know, cool. It's in the States now. Please don't come and deport her for some reason. I don't know what you, whatever.
Yep. Nope, I kept mine.
Cut to Shandy being like, mine. You can't do that. They only arrest you if you try to bring apples into the country, okay?
That's true, because you can't prove that you didn't buy it.
Yeah.
Which I did not. Someone handed it to me, and I just cradled it like a baby all the way back to our hotel. We're, like, on the subway, and my friend's like, where did you get that? And I'm like, I don't know.
I don't remember.
Yeah, that was a direct quote. I'm like, I don't know. But it's mine, and I love it.
Good times.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Well, Colleen, do you want to tell us about your story, just in case, you know, there's one rando person that doesn't know who you are?
I'm sure there's a million rando people that don't know my story. So my name is Colleen. I'm from Long Island. I live in North Carolina now. I have a son named Zachary who's 2 years old. He turned two. Yes, we're recording this on June 14th, 2016. He turned two yesterday, so that was great. I do have a funny story, though, about Zach. So we had his second birthday party this past weekend, and my family came into town. And, you know, oh my God, since Zach was maybe 8 or 9 months, he's always asked for, like, a sip of this or a taste of this. Like, he's always asked, you know, for something like that. And, you know, he's always asked, like, if I have a glass of wine or a beer. And this sounds terrible. Like, can I have a sip? You know, can I... Taste, Zachy taste. So, like, I always go like this and give him a little taste off my finger. And it means, like, nothing or whatever. And my parents came into town last Wednesday, and Zach grabbed my mom's wine glass and was like, Zachy taste! And he stuck his finger right in and was like... like, just stuck it down his throat and was like, Zachy taste! And I was like, no! Zachy, no! And then I was like...
Sounds very French of you, Colleen.
So, it was awful. And then at his birthday party, because this was not his actual birthday party, but at his birthday party, we had a lot of, like, wine and beer and whatever there. And he was like, Zachy taste! And he, like, grabbed from my beer, and I was like, there's somebody here that could get, like, actually offended about this. So, yeah.
Well, at least it was grandma's glass.
Yeah, you know, good times.
Yeah.
So
I'd be more afraid of the germs than the, like, oh, that kid is drinking wine.
That's
like,
true. That's true. So I have a very interesting office. We have only, like, four people in my, like, company or whatever. My boss and, like, me and two other women. And my coworker, who's about to be 62, goes, y'all, because she had come from the gynecologist before she got to work. And she was like, I had my coochie checked this morning. She was like, I know that this is TMI, but they told me that I'm a good candidate for, like, the HPV test. And I was like, but you're 62 and you're monogamous. Like, is there something you want to tell us about? Like, did they find something? Like, why do they think that you're a candidate for this test? And then she, like, clarifies more that it's, you know, like the cervical cancer test, you know, that they can find, like, through all that or whatever. But it led to this whole discussion. And let me see, because you guys, you know, graduated from the same year as I did in high school. I was telling them as we were, like, walking back up the stairs to the office, I was like, when I was in high school, they didn't have the vaccine. And there was this girl in my chorus class, and she had, like, it was like an outbreak and you could, like, see it. And she used to wear, like, super short skirts, and it was, like, on her thighs or whatever. And it was kind of gross. And my friend, whose name I won't say, but Amanda, you might know her. It starts with a T-R and ends with an I-C-A.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. She was like, she was like, oh yeah, this girl whose name I won't say for real. And yeah, she was like, oh yeah, that's that. And I was like, oh, okay. And then I learned in, like, a health class or something, like, yeah, HPV, like, you could get that. Like, somebody could sit on a chair and have it. And, like, as long as, like, open, like, the germs are there and you could sit on that chair next, you can get that. And I swear to God, I always remember that. So I told my coworkers about that, and I was like, yeah, and I was always told, like, because of this girl, like, I always just remember that, like, if I sat in the seat she sat in chorus, I could probably get this too. And then I stopped and was like, or maybe that was just something that the health people told me, just like they said you could get sex, you know, every time you had sex, you can get pregnant. So maybe that was just something that people tell you to keep your like, keep you from having sex or something, like, the way that it was. And I had this, like, dilemma. So then you have everybody in my office, all of a sudden, everybody rushes to go Google HPV and how you can catch it.
So how can you?
Isn't it just sexually transmitted?
No. Skin to skin.
Oh, like herpes.
Mm-hmm. Just like herpes. Yeah. So apparently... What was that? Was that Brooklyn?
Yeah, that was ambulances.
I was like, do I have an open...
I know, me too. I was like, I haven't touched anything. See my hands in the window.
Is there like a video that turned on my computer?
Yeah, no. It gets real loud. Actually, it's really funny. There's, because my building, well, my current building is on a corner. It's theoretically like a really bougie Brooklyn neighborhood. But this corner, every morning at like 7:45-ish, this car comes down the street to like turn onto the main drag.
Mm-hmm.
And they're always blasting something really loud. And it's usually like reggaeton or like salsa music. And it's so loud. Like, dude, people are sleeping. This is like brownstone Brooklyn. Like, what are you doing with your life?
That's right. So where are you in Brooklyn now?
I'm currently in Park Slope for the next 2 weeks. And then I will be moving over to Ditmas Park, which is on the other side of Prospect Park.
Yes. Let's talk about that 1 second. Let me finish my herpes story. Yeah. So that way we don't come back to this randomly.
I'm super invested in this story.
So just so everybody knows out there, a PSA in the first half an hour of our first ever episode, apparently herpes HPV, according to me and the 62-year-old woman and the 51-year-old woman in my office and my high school health teacher, because I actually was like in, I was standing in the hallway like, okay, guys, give me the info. Like, was I wrong? Like, did they lie to me? Did I just believe something that like they tell you in high school that's not true? Yes, it's skin to skin, according to them. So be afraid. But according to something that my coworker read, and I'm too lazy to pull this up and not enough people are listening to this right now that I feel like there'll be an outrage to call me out. But maybe like 10 episodes from now, we'll aim high. But she said that one of the things that she was reading off, because everybody was shouting things, that they expect everybody in their lifetime before the vaccine will have HPV at least once. So then that was like a whole new crisis. I mean, it was a morning, and my boss, who loves to talk about this shit with us, was at a meeting. So she walks in at like 9:30, and I was like, oh my God, we all might have HPV. And she was like, what? Like, what the fuck did you guys talk about when I was gone? So,
no, it's true, actually, because I do actually know a little bit about this. Because, like, when we were, like, coming up and the vaccine was coming out, they said that, like, either you had to get it by 25 or, like, insurance didn't cover it.
Yeah.
Or, like, and, like, we were...
Figures.
Sort of, I was talking to my lady doctor about, you know...
Your coochie doctor?
Yep. The very same. And she was like, well, how old are you? If you've had sex with more than like two people, like you probably have it. So yeah, save your money. It's not worth it. But it's just that prevalent. And a lot of people don't ever show symptoms. Like a lot of people are just carriers.
Yeah, actually.
Like herpes is the same thing. Like 80% of the population has it. Because most people have, like if you get cold sores, you have herpes.
Yeah.
Like that's what it is.
So actually like a week or two ago, I was scrolling through my Twitter feed and there was somebody had like retweeted this TED talk. And I'm looking, I'm looking it up right now. I think it must be the, Ella Dawson's TEDx talk. We can link to this in, when we post this like on Facebook or whatever. It was super fucking fascinating and I definitely would recommend it for everyone. It kind of like changed the way that I thought about herpes actually in a way. So
nice. Like cliff notes.
Are you guys like friends now or like how so?
Oh no. Me and herpes now. Like I mean, I still don't really care to meet herpes.
Do you guys
ever,
you go out to bars together? Like what does this mean?
Yeah. No, it was just she talks about how it's like not something that you should be ashamed of. She talks about the shame that surrounds it, and which made me realize that I've made comments before that are totally shaming of herpes. It's like, well, what if you're talking to somebody who has herpes and you'd kind of feel like an asshole? But she talks about just like you're saying, like just how prevalent it actually is in the population, and that people like might be curious and not even realize it. She also said that usually when you get tested for STDs, they don't necessarily test you for herpes. They'll like test you for all these other things, but not necessarily herpes. Which kind of freaked me out, because I was like, well, shit, like I haven't necessarily ever specified that I wanted to be tested for that in particular. Right. So I was like, well, fuck. I thought I was in the clear, but like, who knows? Anyway, so she just talks about like her life with herpes, and she got it when she was in college, and she just has a really interesting like outlook and take on it. And yeah, it's just, again, like if it's so much more common than we think, right, then I think it's worth talking about. So yeah, we'll definitely link to that. It's a fascinating talk.
Yeah, I really want to check it out.
Yes, if you send me the link, I will post that when I post this show. So.
Yes, definitely.
All right. Remember, we were going to be like fun and stuff, and then we're like, STDs, STDs.
And we were like, HPV and herpes.
Hashtag.
Fun and educational.
Well, my one coworker is a germaphobe, so as she's reading all these things out, and then she's like skin to skin, and I was like, oh my God, like, you know, when we use the coffee machine, it's right outside the bathroom, so people might pee, wipe themselves, and then touch the thing to do the coffee. So you better make sure that you wear gloves and you touch that, because she's a germaphobe. And she was like, oh, my God.
She's like, you just ruined her day.
I did. I completely ruined her day. She was like, I don't know if I can ever get coffee ever again.
Like a hazmat suit. Just,
and she was just like, oh my God, you're right. Like, I'm going to have to like do that thing. Like when you open a bathroom door with a paper towel, like I'm going to have to touch it with a napkin or something.
Oh man.
So the moral of the story is, the moral of the story is we're all screwed.
Yep.
And eat vegetables and drink wine for your heart. The end. Red wine. The end.
Perfect.
Yep.
All right.
Perfect.
So before, because we've got some phone calls and stuff to get into, but I did want to, this has been kind of a topic, and my sister and Jay and I debated this for the entire last weekend. And that is the topic of whether or not we are actual millennials.
Oh yeah, my God, cool. Colleen.
Shandy knows this. This has been a month, because in Survivor, the next season is Gen X versus Millennials, and we're technically Millennials. And I can't accept that. Like, I'm not. I don't want to be. I can't. I'm not. I mean, I grew up without the internet for part of my life, right? Like, it wasn't something
and
that was...
And you grew up with the internet for another part of your life, and you were, like, very much involved in Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.
Yeah, I am now. I am now, because I adapt. I want to be one of those fucking 70-year-olds that know whatever the latest like hologram version of Facebook is, or Snapchat, where you can like be there in person, like Gem and the Hologram style. I'm insane.
Oh my God, I can't wait to be a hologram.
Oh my God, can you imagine Gem and the Hologram Snapchat? Somebody needs to make that happen now, please.
Why is that not like a filter on Snapchat?
Right.
Isn't that right? Now that I know what Snapchat is and what a filter is.
Seriously.
Yeah. But no, like we're like on the fringe side of millennials. Like we're on the high end of it.
Okay. So let me read.
There has to be like the outer limits. And I think like to your point, Colleen, because we are sort of like towards the end, still in the millennial like years, but towards the end, I think that's where
We're towards the front.
Or towards the front. Yeah, I guess it depends what you could anyway.
All right.
Yes, we're towards the beginning, and so of course there's like that, like sort of like in between, because you can't just like any sort of movement or period in time. There's no like distinct like this is when it started, this is when it stopped. But I think that it's fine also if you don't feel like you're a part of that, that then you're not part of it. It's like if you don't identify that with that, then you're not, you know, and you're in like this sort of like borderline group, then that's fine. So I think you can kind of be in between, and it's okay. But technically, we're millennials, and I identify as being a millennial. So for me, I'm just going to say I'm a fucking millennial. And I'm going to say that you technically are too, but if you don't feel like you belong, that's okay too.
Listen, bitch, I'm 15 days older than you, okay? I think the cutoff has to be in the middle of February.
Obviously. It's very specific. It's February 18th, 1984.
Yeah, if that makes you feel better, that's fine.
Well, let me read this. Let me read some of these from this article from BuzzFeed, right? 45 signs you're an old millennial. And don't worry, we're too old to read all 45 of them. So I'm just going to go through some, right? All right, so your teen clothes were wide leg jeans, sunglasses with color lenses, and 70s revival treads.
Nope.
Yep. Check, 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 and check.
Okay.
I also grew up in Montana, so there's that.
Okay, well, you're a curve. You're the curve. Because I definitely had the wide leg jeans.
How feeling are you now?
I had the JNCOs.
Yep. Are the, what was it, the Gen X?
And remember like, this?
Pants.
Yeah. Yeah, so like the JNCOs, and then remember the camisole spaghetti strap shirts over the like T-shirts that were color. Remember that style?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
I do remember that. Clips. That's disgusting.
Yes, well... You know, Long Island. That's our claim to fame, okay?
No, I mean, I'm not criticizing because I did that too. I'm just saying, like, looking back, it's fucking disgusting.
Oh, no. It is. It is.
Not a good era.
But I was also that kid that didn't want to wear a bra until she actually had to. So
hey. The
more layers like that, the better for me. Number two, you learned a lot about sex from the Monica Lewinsky scandal. I did.
Oh my God. We should have the Monica Lewinsky episode sometime because I fucking love that woman.
You know, that's we should great. Just
her
tweet.
TED Talk.
Yes,
and her TED Talk.
I was going to say another good TED Talk.
Yes.
Yeah, so good.
I feel like that could be like a whole topic on like a later episode. So maybe if any of the listeners have like any interesting anecdotes or like an interesting take on all of that, like maybe write in and we could talk about all that.
Jay's in the background like, wow, your first episode and you guys are trying to get Monica Lewinsky on the podcast.
I don't know. No hate for Monica Lewinsky.
Love it.
Number three, you remember watching the O.J. Simpson trial.
Yes. I had to take notes on that in school.
Keyboarding class, no less. That's where I was when they announced the verdict, and I'm not even fucking kidding about that.
Yeah, dude, I was in art class. I was just going to say that, they like announced her as the last speaker.
Talking to weird people in Yahoo chat rooms.
Yes, I do remember that. Looking back, that's like, who, like, why, how is that appropriate? And anyway,
Yes, I think I got to college or whatever, and it was like, and somebody still had that. I remember thinking, like, I don't know if this is okay.
That's weird. And then Facebook came out, and it was like, oh, yeah, talk with people that you actually know. That makes a lot more sense.
Well, right, until Facebook evolved, and now I talk to, like, the majority of people. I talk to are people I've never met before. The next one is, you were going to marry Nick Carter, Justin Timberlake, Nick Lachey, or Taylor Hanson.
Yeah, I wasn't a big boy band girl.
I don't think I was a boy band girl, but I'm pretty sure I still think I'm going to marry Justin Timberlake someday.
That one's acceptable for sure.
Yeah.
And you wrote all about it on Zanga Live Journal or the site that you built out of HTML on GeoCities or Angel Fire. Yes.
I didn't do any of those things.
Okay. I had a GeoCities and an Angel Fire website blog.
I don't know what that means.
Oh, man. Well, I totally did. Everybody should write in and tell them that they're totally out of the loop for not knowing that. The next one is, you went to see the Titanic multiple times in the theater because that's what everybody did.
Yep. Oh, man. That movie.
How many times did you see Titanic in theater, Shandy?
You know what? In theater, I think I only saw it the once. I also didn't have a lot of money at that point in my life. So, like, the one time was probably good. I did see it, though, like they showed it in a local theater a couple of years ago, and I went with a friend who had never seen it. She might just be like just a little bit too young and kind of missed out. So anyway, we went.
So what you're saying is she's an actual millennial?
Not a fringer.
In any case, yeah, it was just as heartbreakingly sad. I cried as much, if not more.
You know what gets me in that movie is when, and this is just because of my upbringing, when they all start saying like the Our Father in the ship, and because they know they're gonna die, and I'm always like,
no. The old people.
Yes,
is, oh, wait, right. Is that the old couple?
Yeah, because that's exactly what I would do. If I knew that I was going to die, I would say the fuck out of some Lord's Prayers and Hail Marys. And then some acts of contrition. I'd be like, I am so sorry for everything.
That's a whole separate part. Yeah.
Anyway, Amanda, how many times did you see Titanic?
Twice. It was the first movie I ever saw more than once in the theater.
Oh.
I think for me too, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. And to this day, I would count on one hand the amount of movies I have seen more than once in a theater. Because
Me too. I think it's been Star Wars and any of the Lord of the Rings / Hobbit movies are the only ones I've seen twice. Moving on, you didn't get your first cell phone until you were 16 or older.
18
for me too. And so
17.
I got my cell phone. Oh, yes, right. I must have been 17 too, because I got mine right before 9/11. And
senior year of high school.
Yeah. So in August 2001, I went to journalism camp because I wanted to be a journalist. And I was going to.
Journalism camp?
I did. And I was going to be editor in chief. I was going to be editor in chief of our newspaper in high school. So I went to journalism camp in Southampton on Long Island or whatever at the University of Southampton. And that was the time when my grandfather had cancer for the first time. And so that was August 2001. And he had a cell phone. And I had to go to camp when he had to have his surgery to get it removed the first time. And I was, worried. And everybody was like, this is the first time that I'm the oldest grandchild and whatever. And everybody was worried, like, she's going 30 miles from her house. What is going to happen? Like, when he has a surgery, nobody's going to be able to reach her. They gave me his cell phone. And my cell phone number is still right now, actually, that same cell phone number, like the original one in my family. Like, I am the patriarch cell phone number.
You have your grandpa's cell phone number?
I do.
So cute. That's awesome.
I know.
I love that so much.
Really great.
I do. So that was, though, at the end of August. But I still had the phone when September 11th happened. And that was at the point where all fucking hell broke loose in New York. And it was insanity. I had the phone still and I was able to keep in touch with them. And in New York, everybody was afraid that, terrorism attack was going to happen at any moment again. Because, you just didn't know. But anyway, that's how I ended up with the phone. So that was August 2001. It's now June 2016. June. I am celebrating my 15 year anniversary with this phone.
Damn.
Yay. I know.
Happy anniversary, phone number.
Happy anniversary, phone number. Yeah, no, not this phone itself.
To be clear, it's the phone number, not the actual phone. Yes. Your phone is not 15 years old.
All right.
You're like still rocking the like Nokia brick.
Yes. I'm gonna move through the rest of these kind of quickly. You remember when the Hit Me Baby One More Time video came out and how controversial it was?
Fun fact, though, about that song is when it came out, I hated it. But now I'm like,
the same. I was too hipster for it at the time. And now I'm like, fucking Britney, Hit Me Baby One More Time.
Funny how nostalgia changes the look of something.
Exactly. My God, it totally does. There's so many things from back then that I thought I was too cool for school for. But now I'm like, this was the best thing ever. Let's all dress up as Spice Girls.
Hell yeah.
Well, now the Spice Girls were always great.
They were good at the time also,
I suppose.
Yeah,
but
totally holds up. I also thought you were gonna say when a certain group of girls dressed up as Spice Girls junior year, and I was like, yeah, that was me.
You dressed up as the Spice Girls junior year?
Yeah, we had like a 90s party when two of my housemates went abroad.
Who were you?
I was Ginger Spice. What else would I do?
Obviously, you're redhead. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah.
That was stupid.
And I had the dress because I was a Spice Girl for Halloween in high school, too.
The British flag dress?
Yeah. Yeah, you could buy that at, like, one of those costume stores.
Okay, there needs
probably
to be...
Still can.
Is there a picture? And let's post this somewhere.
Probably. I'll have to dig it up. And packing, so yeah, we'll come across it.
Next one is you played the Oregon Trail in elementary school.
Okay, yes. Can we just, like, take a little note on pronunciation, though?
Oregon.
Okay. Enlighten us. How are you supposed to pronounce it?
Let's, it's Oregon.
Oregon.
Oh, God.
Amanda?
We should also put up a poll.
No, I genuinely don't. I don't know. I want to learn. It's Oregon.
Oregon. Oregon.
Get like it right. Oregon.
Like the instrument.
Phonetically.
Like Oregon.
No.
Oregon, except it's Oregon. It's
Oregon.
Well, okay. We'll put up a poll. People can vote. How do they pronounce Oregon? Do they pronounce it Oregon or the wrong way?
I'm writing this down in my giant notebook. Oregon poll.
Oregon poll. And then where do they live in the U.S.? Because I think that's obviously a factor with how you pronounce it.
Oregon poll.
The closer you get to Oregon. Yes, the closer you get to Oregon, the higher your chances of pronouncing it correctly are.
Yeah, well, because it's, yeah. I grew up in New England. Like, I don't have a horse in the race. Like, I don't know how you're pronouncing. You tell me.
I would love.
I think I'm sure I'm pronouncing it wrong.
I would absolutely love for somebody from Oregon to call us up.
Oregon.
And tell us how it's pronounced, because I feel like that will settle it. And if somebody calls up and says Oregon, I want best of three.
Why are you so dead set on this? You have no attachment to the state.
I just want to be right.
That's the Colleen I know and love.
I just want
anyway,
to be right.
I thought we were going to go through this list quickly.
Yeah. Okay, so your books growing up were The Berenstain Bears, The Babysitter's Club, and Goosebumps.
Hell yes.
Yes. No Sweet Valley High?
What?
Sweet Valley High. That should be on that list.
Oh, I love Sweet Valley High. On Friday nights, you never miss TGIF.
Of course not.
Because we were too young to have anything better to do.
Right.
Yes.
If you had cable, you watched Family Double Dare, Rugrats, Legends of the Hidden Temple, and Guts. I love Legends of the Hidden Temple, and I still want to be on that TV show. Can they have an almost Cougars edition? Because I would audition for that.
I read somewhere, like, someone told me that, like, they rigged it to make it, like, intentionally hard so that no one could, like, get through the temple because they, like, didn't have enough awards or prizes or whatever. Yeah, but it was intentionally, like, I mean, I guess that makes sense. Like, of course you'd make it hard. So
Boo.
Oh, and speaking of throwback shows, I recently discovered this week that you can find full episodes of Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego on YouTube, and it's been making my week. I've watched like three already.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah. Super, super excited about it.
That's kind of awesome. I actually had no idea about that. And that is actually the next one on this whole poll thingy. Yes. Was if you were a PBS family, you watched Zubily Zoo, Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego, Ghost Rider, and Bill Nye.
Yep. Also, my boyfriend did not know what Zubily Zoo was. So, and as an adult, it's pretty terrifying to go back and watch it now.
I kind of barely remember that one.
It was so good. Ben Vereen.
I mean, I remember it, but I don't remember like all the plot points or whatever.
I don't remember either. Yeah. It was just adults dressed up as animals and singing.
Yeah. The next one is, you were allowed to eat peanut butter in school.
I mean, it's crazy. Like, I think there is the whole, like, quote-unquote health craze. That people sort of sometimes invent things. But overall, I think that there are just like so many more allergies now than there were before. Or we're more aware of them. Maybe people used to just have crazy reactions before and like possibly die and we didn't know it was an allergy.
Right. Now people are always like, oh, they're just having an asthma attack. And now we're like, no, you're allergic to peanuts.
Like, oh,
like, just, it will legitimately
have a stomach ache all the time.
It's like when, when some adults are like, oh, gluten-free, and it's like, well, you're not actually, like, you don't actually have any sort of intolerance or whatever. You just, like, think it's healthy. That's really annoying, but, because I do, like, I definitely know some of those.
And yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah, I do too.
The studies have shown that unless you are celiac or, like, have an actual gluten sensitivity, and not that many people do, it does nothing for you. You will not lose weight. It's not a diet plan.
I mean, just look at the French, to bring up the French again. A lot of bread. A shit ton of bread. They're all skinny. So it's fine.
But it's moderation. No. It's moderation, not gluten, that is making you fat.
Yeah, right. It's moderation because Amanda and I are Italian and we love our fucking bread and we have our fucking hips. So
actually, I don't love bread.
You don't love bread?
I don't love bread. I can do away with bread. It's pasta. Like I can't do away with pasta, but yeah, I usually
I could literally eat garlic bread for a meal instead of pasta or some kind of antipasto that was totally bread based as a meal. I love bread.
Yeah, I mean, I don't hate bread, don't get me wrong, but yeah, like it, I don't know. It doesn't like doesn't sit well with my stomach always.
Interesting.
Actually, my cousin just discovered that she is celiac. 28 years old, lived her whole life, and discovered she's celiac.
That sucks.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, but it like, but like it solved all these things. Like she had this weird rash and it cleared up. She's like, yeah, I just thought I had this weird rash.
Right.
Like, it was just like a heat rash.
I wonder if in our lifetime they'll come up with some kind of pill like for lactose intolerance people.
Dude, I think I'm lactose intolerant.
Yeah, I've given me up too. Care. Well,
it can develop over time.
What?
Yeah.
It can develop over time, and like a lot of people like aren't necessarily lactose intolerant, but as they age, become lactose intolerant. That's like one of my greatest fears.
Oh no, I've always had a problem if I eat too much. Like if I eat ice cream or more than a bowl of cereal. I eat almond milk now though, but it's not like a problem where I'm like incapacitated or debilitated or whatever. It's like a problem where like I stink. So,
which is why I think I just stuck with it for that long. Just cause I was like, well, I'm a little gassy.
Exactly. Which is great. Well, Amanda and I ate a lot of ice cream living together cause we understood each other, but like,
you know, when you're going to bed by yourself, you're like, so
exactly. Or if you're going to bed with somebody if you're going to bed with somebody who equally stinks like I do, it totally works out. Next up, you had your first email in middle school, but you only checked it once every couple of days.
I had my first email in high school.
Yeah, high school.
No, I had mine in either that like late middle school, junior high. Later, you waited hours to download one song on Napster. That's true. Yeah,
never did the Napster stuff.
Oh my God, I waited up to like 12 hours once.
Yeah, I would just have it like my Kazaa or LimeWire or whatever I was using in college. Kazaa, I would just have it running.
I miss those. You just
set a bunch of... You just always have a couple of songs going, and you'd go to class, you'd go wherever, and it was
just overnight,
cooking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was it, LimeWire or Kazaa that picked up the networks that other people had?
I don't remember because I feel like I used both.
I think it was LimeWire though, that if anybody else in your network on your internet, whatever songs they had in their library, if they were using that program, you could download it too. That was awesome. The next thing is. Oh, you watched American Pie with your high school friends and felt super scandalous.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what? That movie came, it was on TV the other day. And my husband was like flipping through the channels and he flipped onto that channel. And then he wanted to watch something else. And I was like, dude, no. Like, keep it. Like, we need to watch the rest of this stupid movie.
But it's so much fun.
It's like fairly masochistic and awful, but like I need to watch it because this is my high school nostalgia.
And how many times do you hear the phrase this one time at band camp and you don't go to I stuck a flute in my pussy?
It's never gonna
Yeah.
I mean, That's a classic. I love all three of those movies. I'm pretty sure I could quote most of all of them. The next one is you watched Carson Daly on TRL after school. Yes.
Yep.
And you dreamed about going to New York and standing outside the studio in the freezing cold. Hey, Amanda, what was it like to work inside of that studio in the not freezing cold?
It was interesting because, yeah, I was an intern during the sort of last season or so of TRL. And I remember, as an intern, I would time runs around TRL because there was a specific time in the afternoon where they would walk down the talent into the studio and you would make sure you were not in the lobby at that time just because it was a pain in the ass. Like you couldn't do your job.
Right.
But I think I told you the story once of how I was carrying all these bags of tapes because we were tapes back then. And
right.
Television tapes are huge, massive, textbook size digibetas. And I'm carrying these huge giant bags and I'm trying to get my ID to swipe into the building and who floats by into the studio but Beyonce and her entourage, and I'm just a disgusting intern with weighed down by bags of tapes and has a plastic card in my teeth trying to swipe in, and I'm just I'm not worthy doesn't even begin to cover it. This is the best and worst day of my life.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I was touched by an angel that day.
she floated. She's just too beautiful.
That's awesome.
And that was Beyonce before Beyonce was Beyonce. Before she was Queen Bee, when she was just that girl, that talented girl from Destiny's Child that's gonna go out on a solo career.
Oh my god. Next up is taking pictures on a digital camera felt so innovative.
Yep.
You remember the frenzy when the Princess Diana Beanie Baby came out?
Yeah, what was that about?
Why I don't know, but so I still have mine.
Wow, nerd.
You joined Facebook when it was just for college students and it had that weird guy on it.
Yes, millennials.
Yeah, thefacebook.com.
It was our junior year that Facebook came out.
Yeah.
Next is you took your portable CD player on family road trips with the anti-skip protection. I took mine on runs in college.
I didn't. I had a Walkman because I didn't have the skip card.
Next up is you were in college when texting first came out, and then only some of your friends were allowed to text. That's 100% true. Do you guys remember before we had the actual keyboard and you had to type through to see A, B, and it was a phone thing.
T9.
Yeah.
T9.
Oh, thank you. T9. That's what it's called. I forgot about that.
I was just talking to someone else about this the other day and how towards the end of T9, you started to really like it because you got the hang of it.
Yes. And then you were I don't need to use this fucking fancy shit because I know how to use T9. And then you were wow, this shit's so much better.
Although to your point, being one of those kids that didn't have text messages, I would get so mad when people would send me text messages. I'm like, are you gonna pay that nickel?
Yeah.
That costs me money every text message I received.
See, right. Here's the thing for me. Since my first cell phone was when I was living in France, and in France, you do not pay for receiving a text message.
Oh, so then, fuck you and your European values.
4 years later, when I moved back to the U.S., I was like, what the fuck?
What is this giant bill?
Yeah, pretty much. Cell phone bills here are so much more, just in general.
Oh, I'm sure.
It's crazy.
Yeah,
I don't really understand why, but it is. It's a thing.
Next up, all the cool kids got to have the Motorola Razors. Okay, so I don't know if Lost fans remember this or not, but as far as the Razor goes, is with that Lost episode, I was watching it at our friend Joe Matero's house, Amanda, and he was like, why does Jack Shepard have a Razor? That's totally an anachronism. And I was like, oh my god, you're right. This takes place in the past. And then when he was like, we have to go back, Kate, I was like, oh my god, this takes place the now.
The now.
Yeah. Anyway, I guess moving on, you remember voting for the new M&M color after they decided to get rid of the tan?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I was in, we were in third grade. It was like voting for Tan and then voting for like Clinton Bush or whatever. Like, those were the two big things.
No, you weren't voting for Tan. It was like blue, purple, or pink. I think were like the colors they were going to
replace. Right, and blue won.
And blue won.
Moving on, in college, you remember it was still weird to bring a laptop to class.
Yep.
And here's the one, like, out of all of these, this is the one that actually was in my top, like, three. You spent most of your time looking at Homestar Runner and sending the strong bag clips to your friends.
Yeah. I don't even understand those words.
You don't remember Homestar Runner or Strong Bad?
No. It was the same website.
Yeah.
That and the bunnies. Oh, my God.
See, it's the France thing again. France Strikes Again. The Homestar Runner.
It's just the name.
That was his name.
Is it a star that runs at home?
Maybe.
Yeah, he was kind of this white kind of sock puppet looking
yeah.
character. And he had a shirt with a star on it.
Yeah, it was like one of the original like internet things.
I have no idea.
It's cool. You're also the last part of your generation to remember life before the internet, smartphones, emojis, texting, and being connected 24/7. The end. Hashtag.
And I'm so thankful for that.
I suppose.
No, I really am. I'm so thankful that like, because I'm so like anxious. Like I couldn't imagine growing up in with Facebook and with this constant like, I feel like being a teenager is stressful enough.
Oh, definitely. And like, I know that even like now as like a grown adult, sometimes like I need to have my connectivity as in like Facebook and text messages taken away from me if I've like had too much to drink. And so I can't even imagine as like a middle school or high school student, like having, I don't know, just like the possibility of, I was just like, not that I was like drinking, like that's not the comparison I mean to make, but just
is
like,
it, is it not?
But like, but you're just so
a little bit, but just like
the photos, at that like, age. Yeah.
I'm thinking about the possible pictures, like the harassment that like everything that could have gone down. And there's just this permanent record of it. Mm-hmm. I definitely am okay with that not existing.
Fair enough.
Until I was at least a little bit older, a little bit wiser. Like, arguably, sometimes a little bit drunker, so still dangerous, but, like, not quite the same.
Well, just, like, you feel everything so intensely at that age that, like, yeah, and you don't have that filter to be able to, like, stop yourself.
Yes, and you know something? This is actually, just in the spirit of, you know, our generation is, we also grew up expressing ourselves and feeling all the feels through, like, instant message, right?
Yeah, or do you even just like I used to write all that stuff down in a like a like a notebook, like it wasn't a journal, but yeah, I just write all that stuff down. I write like poems and stuff, and I feel like kids don't do that now.
I wrote that shit down.
They tweet it.
I wrote that shit down on either an instant message because I had like all the saved ones for all of my moods, or
that's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or yeah. Song lyrics, yeah. Okay, yeah.
Exactly. Oh my God, we're dating ourselves, guys. We're super
cool. Currently, you're dating yourself. Speak for yourself.
I am. I'm dating myself. If you're listening to this and you're under 31 years old, please keep listening. We're going to be super awesome. We are. I'm going to go online and Google what you young kids are doing nowadays.
No, we're just going to look in on Yik Yak and then we'll know. It's fine.
Right. Yeah.
Like, I'm your whippersnapper, like whatever it was called. Your wickety-wack.
Right. Good times. Oh my God. You know what we never talked about that we meant to talk about at the beginning of the show?
What? A
couple of things.
Pants peeing.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a list.
Pants peeing.
Oh, yeah.
Pants peeing. Peeing in the pants. Yes, please do tell.
Good segue.
When you have a baby.
Because I know.
And then you laugh too much, you pee your pants. When you have a baby.
How did that happen?
And you sneeze too much, you pee your pants. When you have a baby and you run too much, you pee your pants. Mm. If you're awake, you pee your pants all the time.
Okay. So okay, Amanda.
Go ahead.
I feel like there's a lot here, so I don't. Okay, my first question. Well, yes, I know Colleen, and I'm comfortable with her pee. Amanda, do you have kids?
I do not. No, I'm
okay. So you and I are the coolest one. What? So for me, when Colleen tells me this stuff, this like goes on to my list of glad I don't have a kid. And like, let me like total you know, disclaimer here. Like, I love kids. Colleen's kid is adorable. I love my nieces and nephews. I love being an aunt. That's great. But I'm really happy that I don't personally have kids. And this, although it's just like a cosmetic thing, like, just add that to the list of like, I'm cool with like the fact that I don't have kids. And I would love to know your opinion on this. And I would also love to know the listener's opinion on this, because I feel like, especially when you're about our age, this is a topic that people bring up all the time, whether or not it's appropriate or not. And like, for me, for example, I am married and have been for 10 years. And so there's like a lot of assumptions that go on. So I think it's an interesting topic. I think it's great that Colleen has a kid. Again, Zachary's awesome. But yeah, don't want to
pick. I'm not going to argue that.
What's your thoughts on this, Samantha?
Well, first, I just want to get the particulars about the volume.
You just pee. Like, they say Kegels work. They don't fucking work, okay?
What are we talking about, like, and you can't control it? Or are we talking, like, a couple drops? Like, what are we talking about here?
I mean, like,
a ballpark.
Let me tell you a story.
Okay.
So, about a year ago, Jay and I decided to do the T25 from Shanti. And I would say the first four nights I had to shower after we were done. Not because I was sweating, but because I like fucking pissed myself the whole time we were doing it. But I was like, all right, well, I'm glad that you can like cool down, but I have to go shower because, you know, I peed.
I take a shower because I'm covered in urine.
So it's like legit. Like,
no, it's like legit sometimes. Sometimes legit. The other day I sneezed and I was like, oh, fuck, do I have a panty liner in my hair? And like, I gotta go, like, it's not good. Like, nobody ever tells you, like, they say, like, when you get pregnant, like, you're not gonna buy, like, you have a year, you don't have to buy pads or tampons or something. You always have to buy panty liners. You always have to keep a bunch
of purse. And also for the rest of your life.
For your rest of your life.
Something's just always leaking.
You're always leaking. Like, you're always leaking. And my gyno was like, you know, do the Kegels, like, you know how to do them? And I was like, yes, I know how to do them. And apparently I don't, because they're not working. So I'm either doing them wrong or they just don't work.
Now here's my follow-up question. If you had a C-section, would you still have this problem? Is this a just, like, if you just push them out the old-fashioned way?
I don't know. Like, from what I understand, the muscles get weaker in general from, like, carrying them. So yeah.
Okay, but here's my question, though. And Colleen, you can correct me because you would definitely know more about this than me, but I'm just thinking, if you have a C-section, even if you section, like, you don't, it's not always planned. Like, usually it's like it's a decision that's made at the last minute. And I just recently learned that, like, for like potentially like a week, 2 weeks leading up to the birth, you're just fucking like, what's the word? God, what is the word? Like, you're fucking like expanding.
Say it in French. In your...
No, yeah. but so like you're just like dilating for like a long time.
I think the rest of your life.
leading up to giving birth. Right? And so even if you have a C-section, you had that experience of dilating, why, like, perhaps even if you have a C-section, maybe you'll also still have to I don't know.
If you've had a C-section and you still piss yourself and you do pretty much everything,
Oh, no, I was just going to say, again, like, add this to the reasons that I'm happy I don't have a kid.
Yeah, I think we need, like, more opinions on, like, if this is, like, every woman who's ever birthed a baby, or if this is just you.
I've not peed right now, but I feel like it could happen every minute. I'm sitting in my Kegel position, so.
We're at a code yellow here.
Yeah. Don't make me laugh. I might piss myself. It'll be embarrassing. This is the first episode ever. This is the impression people are going to get of me. That said, children are wonderful and you should all have them.
No, like, look, Colleen, I don't, like, I feel like this is a very sensitive topic because I don't mean to be, like, negative on kids. I'm not anti-kid whatsoever. It's just that they're not for everyone.
No, they're not.
And
they're
so that's what.
Well, true. So, and
to circle back, like, Amanda, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, and I was going to go back to that. I don't want to feel like I'm dodging the question.
Okay, well, and I feel like I'm asking you, like, wildly personal questions the first time we've actually talked face-to-face, but I guess that's kind of what this podcast is.
Yeah, no, it's funny, because I am someone that does fall on the side of, like, yeah, I do want kids, and I think I sort of fall in the camp of, like, between kids or a wedding, I think I would pick kids. Like, I don't need a big fancy wedding. It's like I've been in enough weddings to know that that's a lot of work, and I don't think I want to do it.
A lot of work and a lot of money. Yeah,
a lot of work and a lot of money. And but like kids was just always something that like I knew I wanted at some point. But on the same side of the coin is that like I don't want them today. I don't want them tomorrow. I probably am not going to want them in a year. You know, it's like we are at an age where you don't have infinite time anymore.
Yeah,
so it's like,
exactly.
I'm not ready now. There is a lot of things I want to do. There's lots of cool traveling I want to do that I now have the money to do. Mm-hmm. But at the same point, it's also like, yeah, there's a limited amount of time before having a kid becomes like exponentially harder.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, you do feel like you, and I wouldn't say that my clock is ticking per se, but like, yeah, I do understand that, like, well, you just have to start to manage your time a little better. Like, if that's something I know I want, it's like, you know, it's like my boyfriend always sort of teases me because it was something I brought up very early into our relationship. Because it was like, you know, I was like, I always say it came up naturally in conversation, but my argument was that, yeah, it's something I always knew I wanted.
Sure, and if, I think and that's super important.
Yeah, and it's like, if you don't, that is fine and that is well within your right. But, like, I need to know that before I get attached. Because I will jump off now. Because it's like, I don't want to spend my whole life trying to convince you of something that you definitely don't want.
Absolutely.
That's not fair to you and that's not fair to me.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it's like, we
hear that for sure.
We don't know yet, but it's like, you know, it's a conversation. It's an ongoing conversation of like, how are you feeling about it now?
I know. Like, yeah. And that's, for me, that's like the craziest part is, and like, I've been with my husband for a really long time. We've like got together when I was much younger, and obviously people change a lot throughout life. And that's one of the interesting things about relationships and how that all works and how you change over a lifetime. But when we were first together, like, we both definitely wanted kids. And then, but, you know, much, much later. And as life has gone on, it's been like, there have been times where we've been like, okay, no. And then there have been times where we've been like, maybe. And then now it's like, I'm just like you're saying, like, we're getting to that age where it's like, it's kind of like now or never. And I'm kind of like, never. But
that's so fascinating to me that I can see how you got there. I totally can.
Yeah. The problem is that he could still I think he could easily like have kids, but then it's at that point, it's like, well, I mean, that's why I think it's so smart that, you know, you obviously would have that conversation at the beginning of a relationship, but what happens if that changes? Like, we can all change. Yeah. And we can change our minds, and especially over like a decade, you know, I'm a different person than I was 10 years ago. So how could I, you know, how the hell was I supposed to know when I was 22 if I'd want kids in my 30s?
Right.
Because you can think you do, and then you get there and you're like, actually, no, life is pretty fucking awesome without kids. So it's an interesting question.
Well, yeah.
Definitely not easy.
And I think that's, you know, and that's such an interesting point that you bring up about how, it's life is a journey. With every year, you get to know yourself a little better and what you want. And, you know, when you're that young and you meet someone that you want to marry, you do just kind of hope that you do grow together. And sometimes you don't.
Yeah.
And like, I think that's so fascinating.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. And that's actually something that I personally would love to hear is if there are any listeners who actually don't want to have kids, because I feel like that's kind of the more minority opinion on the kids, no kids answer. Obviously, if you like totally want kids, that's fine too. We'd love to hear from you. But if you know, if you don't, like, I would love to hear the reasons for why you don't. And if there's anyone that's like, you know, too old to have biological children now, is it something you regret? I mean, something to think about too is like, you know, you can freeze your eggs. I know someone who's done that because she's not with someone right now and she's at, you know, sort of like mid-30s. So the idea is, well, you know, maybe later, if that's something she wants, she can do that and have that option. There's obviously adoption, which is a great option. And I think that, you know, there are so many children on this earth already that need homes, that that's a great option as well. There's, you know, foster.
Well, and I feel like that's a whole separate topic too, of just how expensive it is to adopt. Like, I feel like there's so much legislation that, like, it's such a wonderful thing. And there are so many children that need loving homes. And right now it is so difficult to give them a loving home.
Yeah.
I'd love to say, I would love to adopt a kid, but I'm like, I don't think I make enough money. I don't think they would let me adopt a child.
Exactly. I know. I have a good friend who has adopted, and I heard all about like sort of that journey, and it was incredibly expensive. And luckily she and her husband, you know, make good money and were able to. It's gotta be frustrating to see like that, you know, people can just get knocked up and have a kid. And then if that's not your situation, you have to pay a bunch of money. But it is, you know, it is obviously an option, and fostering a child also is an option. I don't know. I feel like if I don't know if I'll change my mind. I don't know. Who knows? I don't want to pronounce myself on the subject, but anyway, I'd love to hear from people because it's a question that I find really interesting, especially like at this, point in my life.
We have some feedback from some people. Would you guys like to get into that a little bit?
I would love nothing more.
All right. Yay. All right. So our first email actually comes from Michaela. And this says, hi, ladies. So excited to hear your first show and hear your take on life and love. My husband and I celebrated our 20th wedding anniversary last August. I'm wondering how you feel about taking last names and the concept of being given away. For me, I was proud to be wanted and felt proud to be presented to my father that day. There are no boys with my maiden name, so I was a bit sad to see it not carried on, but we had no intentions of having children, so it was a moot point. Just wondering how it was now for you younger ladies. God, I sound old. Happy recording, Michaela. So how do you guys feel about giving away your maiden name and giving your children your married name?
Ooh, I'm going to let the married ladies take it first because,
I feel like I have a lot to say on this, so...
I'll go quick because I actually do have a quick opinion about this.
Okay.
I'm one of three daughters, so my dad's last name dies with us. I was okay with it because I'm you know, very in love or whatever, and that was fine with me. I am sad though when I think about how the name is going to die with my father. But that said, I like being a left filter. I like me and McAllister. I know that my middle sister got married, and she did change her name legally, but professionally she still goes by McAllister, her last name. So I didn't feel like I was being given away, mainly because I'm an alpha female, so I feel like you can't give me away even if you try. I'm just super lucky that somebody liked me, and that's about it. Go ahead, Shandy, go. Go, Shandy, go.
So, I mean, this gets a bit complicated, like, with my personal story, because I did take my husband's last name, and I have my own very specific reasons for taking his last name, and I think what's important in the last name debate is that it should be a choice, and I think whatever you choose is fine, as long as it's a choice, and it should be something that the women think about, and it should be something that the men think about. Obviously in same-sex couples, it's something that both partners think about because there's no default to like, this person should be taking the other person's name or vice versa. I mean, it's just obviously a marker of our patriarchal society of, you know, what's left over of that, because we're still very much living in that. And I mean, that goes to the idea of being given away. I mean, which is very much like you're some sort of possession that's being, that can be given from one man to another. So there's, I mean, that, like, I feel like I don't need to harp on that too much because I kind of feel like it's a little bit obvious. Michaela mentions that she feels very old in the email. I have no idea what her actual age is, but if there's maybe a generational gap, then that could be why we feel so strongly differently about those, that specific wording, which for me is kind of like nails on a chalkboard. Also, like, feeling proud to be wanted, like, that's, I guess, great for you. I'm happy that you're happy. I don't think that somebody's happiness should be dependent upon them being wanted by somebody else. I think that your happiness should come from within inside you and not dependent upon an outside opinion of you. Also, being proud to be presented by my father that day. Like, again, it's like, that's fine if you would have been equally proud to be presented by your mother that day. But for me, marriage is something that happens between two adults. And so family's involved in that. We all have families, but for me, it's a decision between two adults and, you know, you're not being given away, or I don't know. I mean, so much of marriage to me is just completely archaic, and it's like this, like, very, like, in your face kind of reminder of our patriarchal heritage, but we're so used to it that we don't always see it that way. You know, even down to the white dress and everything like that, all of these symbols are just kind of not my cup of tea. You know, as far as the maiden name goes and whether you should take your husband's name, whether you should not take your husband's name, again, like I said, I really think it should be a choice. But I do have kind of an interesting story in my own family. I have a lot of siblings. My older siblings are all brothers. I have three older brothers and then a younger brother and a younger sister as well. And all of my older brothers have all sort of changed their names after getting married. And all of their names are different, and they're sort of most, like, two of them are like hybrids of our birth name, like hyphenated with either their wife's name or some name that was important in their wife's family.
Mm-hmm.
What's annoying about that is that, once again, like, just to show you how much society is just still, like, in these old social norms of, like, very patriarchal, like, outlook on life, you know, when a woman gets married, if she chooses to take her husband's name, all you do is you go with your marriage certificate to the Social Security office and the DMV, and for free, they change your name.
Oh, and men have to pay to do that.
So that's obviously not okay. But all of my brothers went through that process because they felt very strongly about it. So I don't know. For me, like, a family name can be very important. I understand the importance of it. And
yeah,
for me, it's always been like, so whose is more important? Like, why would it automatically be the man's family who's more important than the woman's family? If we're supposed to be, like, in a heterosexual couple between a man and a woman, if those two people are supposed to be equal partners, then why is it just the default? Like, why would we assume that the child should be named after the man? The woman should take the man's name. You know, it's obviously problematic. So I think it's a conversation to have. It's something that each couple needs to decide for themselves. And again, like, I don't think it's anti-feminist to take your husband's name if you want to, you know, and just like I did. Like, I did take my husband's name. However, my husband also offered to take my name. So it's a personal thing for each couple. I just don't like when it's seen as like a default.
Right. And I personally just
want to. So that's my piece on that.
And I personally just wanted to move up in the alphabet. I wanted to go from M to G. I'm selfish.
For all the times that, you know, you stand in alphabetical order in your adulthood.
Amanda, do you have any strong thoughts about this at all? Or
I don't, but it is sort of applicable to me because it is something I realized that I should start thinking about.
Yeah.
Because I don't know. I really don't. You know, it's like, and I think the older you get, maybe the harder it is to give up your name.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it's like, I have, that has been my name for 31 years. And the idea of it being something different is a little weird. And yeah, it's just something that like, I really don't know. And we haven't talked about it. And maybe we should. But I don't know if we're quite there yet.
Right.
But yeah, I really don't know. And I think, again, knowing that I want kids someday, I think that would be potentially the reason why I would. Just because you hear all these things about how it is a little harder if your kids don't have your name.
Right.
You know, when it comes to like picking them up from school. And, you know, granted, I also don't know enough about it to speak with any sort of confidence about that situation. But yeah, I guess I really don't know. But it is a thought that has been circulating in the back of my brain as something that I should move to a front burner at some point and actually start talking about.
I think there are a couple of things though with that type of reasoning is that, for one thing, why is it that, like, so we have to think about, okay, would we take our husband's last name? Why isn't the husband equally thinking, okay, should I take my wife's last name? Again, there are all these things set up, like I was saying, with how you do official name changes in the United States that make it more difficult and just easier for us to stay with the sort of default that has been in place for, you know, forever. But so there's that. Like, why? I think that if you're going to think about, like, if a woman's going to think about changing her name, she's a male partner, her male partner should be equally thinking about changing his last name. So there's that. Also, this question of kids, like, I've never understood this. Why would the kids automatically take the father's last name? And I mean, I know this is kind of a rhetorical question because obviously I know the answer is because obviously patriarchy, but like, it just doesn't make any sense to me because if we're talking biological kids, they literally come out of the mother. So of the maternity, we are sure. The paternity, like, sure, okay, maybe, maybe not. But like, the one thing we're certain about is these kids are coming out of that woman. So they're with her, you know?
Right.
Okay. So it just seems a little bit more logical to me that they would be named, that the default would be after the mother. But anyway, that's a whole nother question. And like, maybe we should find a different solution for the naming so as not to, I don't know, choose which parent's identity is going to be more important,
right?
You know, because that whole thing seems just not very egalitarian. But anyway, it's also the default setting that really bothers me.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm so distracted by the gymnastics that is going on behind you,
dude. Your cat.
My cat.
Right now?
So just to give the listeners a visual. Behind me is like one of those hanging racks to dry your clothes. And of course I have all of my underwear drying right now. And my little kitten, who is now like 12 weeks old, is climbing on the drying rack. And it's really
adorable.
Cute, but also probably not good for the state of my underwear. So
yeah, it's like the uneven parallel bars, like the uneven bars like happening back there. Like, there was this moment where, like, she just sort of swung, and I was like, oh, no, she's going to fall.
Oh, my God.
And then she caught herself, and she swung her leg up and over. It's
yeah.
Unreal.
All right, so.
And I have been listening, because what, Shandy, what you've been saying is so important. But life is good. I'm so distracted.
Yeah, she's super cute.
Yeah, she's amazing. My cat's he's been passed out for hours. Like, he like moved once. His whole body convulsed. Oh no, his tail just went. Yeah,
okay. That's bad. No, it's funny actually to have a kitten again. We've had her for a couple of weeks now, and the contrast between our adult cat is really funny too. Because our adult cat is amazing.
Oh no, it's again. Oh, baby girl, get your life together.
That's what she said.
The fearlessness and the energy of a kitten is kind of insane, and you forget about it. And that's my underwear that she's grabbing.
Yep. See, it's like I've never had a kitten. Like I rescued my cat when he was like 3. So it's like, yeah. I've never really been around a kitten. It's just like,
yeah, oh, they're insane and fearless.
Oh, there she is. Oh my God.
I'll post some pictures of her cuteness. Colleen, I believe there were some calls.
There were some calls. Let's do a couple. And
we're getting a little long in the tooth here.
Yes, and then maybe we can save a couple for last week, for next week, rather.
Next week?
Yes.
Perfect.
All right. Yeah. So we'll do at least one more, and then we can move on. We can save some of them. So at least we have something to talk about, and we won't be totally boring next week. All right. So let's get to this call.
Hey, you broad. This is Will from the Oregon Territories. I just wanted to call in and wish you good luck on your new podcast and hope you have many, many more successful episodes to come. I figured I'd start you off with an easy question. For those of you in relationships or married or dating someone, if you could go back in time and tell yourself something at the beginning of the relationship, what would you tell yourself? And if you're single like me, what would you go back and tell yourself at the point where maybe your last relationship ended? I will talk to you guys later, ladies later. Bye.
All right. So I actually can probably provide a little bit of insight to the background of this. Will has called into the Married Man show before that Jay and Jack do. And he recently, he was seeing a guy who had some mental health issues or whatever. And it was very on and off again, from what I understand. And I guess in the end, the guy said that he needed a little bit of a timeout. So that is, I guess, where we're coming in now. And I would have to say that if somebody was going to ask me what kind of advice they would give myself before I entered my current relationship, that would be okay with an enormous, ridiculous, unquantitative, non-understanding purchase of toys. Because...
Everyone has their thing.
Because current...
I've seen pictures.
Current self is like...
Just relax. Enjoy it.
When you saw Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, when you had never seen any of them before, you recognized the characters because they sat on a shelf that you looked at every day. So really, you're learning.
And if that is the thing, you're doing okay. If that's the weird thing in your relationship, like, you're fine.
Yeah.
You're fine.
Oh, yeah, we're fine. I mean, granted, this fucking shit costs a lot of money sometimes. But that said, like, yes, I mean, I don't have to worry about, like, I come home and I'm like, what did you buy? Not, who do you fuck? So I feel like, I feel like I'm still winning. That said, does anybody else have any advice for Will?
Yeah, I guess my advice is that you can't control how the other person is feeling, but you can control your actions and how you are feeling.
Oh, that's good.
And so long as you're okay and you take from that relationship what you can to build yourself up stronger, then you're going to be fine. Like, I do believe in karma and life being a journey, and that each step kind of gets you better, gets you closer to understanding yourself.
She and does.
Kind of, yeah, and I think you also can't truly be with someone else until you are with yourself. And I think that's relationship number one. So it's like, if you're okay with you and you're content with you, the other stuff will work itself out. Yeah, and I guess I believe that because I'm sort of living proof that when I finally got good with myself, I found this amazing relationship that I value over so many other things in my life.
Shando?
That's awesome. So first of all, I want to draw attention to the fact that Will said Oregon.
Yep. Noted.
Thank you, Will.
Okay, I refuse to justify that with an answer.
What would you tell yourself? I mean, it's hard. Like, again, I've been in a relationship for like most of my adult life. I would say, I mean, specifically to myself or to people in general, it might be different. I'm not sure. I mean, I guess I would want myself to know, kind of like what we've been talking about like earlier in the episode, like, you're going to change and you're going to grow and you're going to change and you're going to be different when you're 32 than when you were 22. And what you want is going to be different, and that's okay. And you're going to kind of discover that as you go, and you're going to push the limits of what you thought you would want and maybe try some new things and push the limits of your own relationship. And that's okay. And you should push the limits of your relationship. And I know, for example, in my case, that's going to be okay. Like, I have a partner where that's going to be okay. Like, maybe there are going to be some difficult times, but you're going to figure it out. And it's with those times where you're really pushing that things will evolve, I guess. And so if you're with somebody where that's actually going to instead break, then maybe you want to, you know, change relationships. So I guess that's my advice, trying to be specific to me and maybe applicable to others as well, if that makes any sense.
That's all we can do.
Yes, I dig. Yep.
All right.
No, there is no one right answer when it comes to relationships.
There is none. But the only right answer is to have respect for yourself. If somebody's not going to have respect for you, then, you know, you can't be with them. And that's just, you know, at the end of the day, is you have to have respect for yourself. And they might love you or say they love you, but they don't love you if they don't have respect for you. And that's just it. So,
well, they don't love you. They love some version of you that they've invented.
Or they love themselves and they are convincing themselves that they love you because, you know, they might be fond of you. But if somebody, like, I love my husband, I could never see myself cheating on him just because, like, you know, there's a layer of respect there, like, that, you know, above all else, like, I don't want to be with somebody else, and I would never want to hurt him by being with somebody else. So, like, I feel like, I don't, that's like my basis or whatever. So just above all else, when you're in a relationship, make sure that you have respect for yourself and respect for the other person.
Amen.
Yep.
I like it.
And then one final email, and then we are going to save the rest for next week. This is from Maggie. She says, "Hey, ladies, I am excited for your podcast. 2 years ago, I moved into a townhouse with two friends, an engaged couple. Fast forward, they are no longer engaged, but still together. I am continuing the lease with the male roommate. My female roommate is moving to California on Tuesday. My roommates have been together for 4 years. I think I have convinced her to break it off with him before she leaves, but she's very non-confrontational. She was just going to leave and not say anything. My question is, how do I help him? His girlfriend of 4 years is basically moving across country to get away from him. He's not a bad guy. I wouldn't be living with him still if he wasn't. He's maybe a little clueless, but also non-confrontational. Some friends and I are afraid that he's going to be crushed by her leaving. What do I say to him? What do I do? I'm much closer to her, and I'm also going to be sad when she leaves. Not sure if this detail is important, but I did date him for about 6 weeks or so a few months before they got together. We realized that we were better as friends. There wasn't a spark or anything. Any advice would be great." Okay, this is tough.
I don't even know where to begin. Oh my God. So much is happening.
Yeah. So holy shit. I am super non-confrontational, so I can understand that, but there's non-confrontational and then there's non-confrontational. They've been dating for 4 years.
There's non-confrontational and there's catatonic.
I mean, they've seriously been dating for 4 years and she's just going to peace out and not say anything?
It like, sounds like
really?
That.
Does that happen? Does that happen? I feel
but
like
also that.
That
they were engaged and now they're not, but they're still together. Like, that's a crucial part of the piece as well. Like, what?
I mean, yeah, obviously things are not going in the same progression as this one might expect. And if you come back from that, then it would seem like maybe, you know what? Here's the thing. This is why they're no longer engaged. It's because they're both so, like, non-confrontational that they just don't want to tell each other it's over. So it's like, we're engaged. Oh, maybe not. But we're not going to break up.
We're still together, right? So I think we're together, so like I'm just not gonna say anything.
I feel like if somebody says we're not engaged and gives like a ring back because they're not wearing it anymore, like that should be a sign that perhaps it's not working. And
well, because then, but that is a big step. So then there should be ramifications.
Yeah.
How do I help him? I mean, I would say like I would get drunk
and you get him like go be his wing woman. Like yeah. Get that man laid. Oh, does it matter that they dated or whatever for 6 weeks? No, I don't think it does.
I don't think it does.
Truth be told, like sometimes you can fuck your friends and then just be friends. It's totally fine. We're all adults. 6 weeks is nothing. They obviously like have some sort of friendship, care about each other. So whatever. But
it's just at the same time, it's shitty to leave and be like, you know, because she says, I think I have convinced her to break it off with him before she leaves. But she's very non-confrontational. She was just going to leave and not say anything. Like
that's like weird. It's really weird.
Yeah. I think real world style, call a house meeting.
I mean, they do all live together, so yeah, there's that.
Yeah. Because you don't want to get involved because it's not your relationship. You know, it's always like, well, you know, you don't. But at the same point, if they're non-confrontational, like they need to talk about it.
Right, but how does she help him? Like, she doesn't.
If she's friends with both of them, she has to be Switzerland.
Yeah.
But by facilitating getting them both in a room together at the same time, I think is about the best she can do. Right. It's just like, hey, you're both being really silly. Like, I feel the tension in the house. There's something going on. I would really, in order for me to feel comfortable living in this house, I would really like if we all have an open discussion about this.
Yeah. And I think that she should give the woman in this relationship, like, just a heads up. Like, you need to just explain, like, on a basic human level, like, that's really shitty. Like, you can leave.
That's just fucking weird.
Like, yes, you can go, and you can never talk to him again once you move across country or where the fuck you're going. Like, but you should at least tell him, hey, I'm going, because we're adults now, and that's called adulting. That's what adults do. Like, hashtag adulting. Like, man up and fucking say, I'm leaving. Like, you... It might be shitty. It might come out shitty. It might come out bitchy. It might just come out like fucking straight up like, hey, I'm leaving. But like you need to give that person a heads up, especially if you were together with them for 4 years. Like that's
a long ass time.
Yeah. That's
a college degree. Fuck.
Oh my God. That's right. I mean, obviously she didn't get a fucking college degree in relationships because she's going to leave. But I get feeling awkward and uncomfortable, but you have to say something. Like you have to convince her to say something in some way before she goes. Like she can't just slip a note under his door, like you know, a hotel room. Like here's your bill for the last 4 years. But like,
yeah. Well, and there's a difference between being non-confrontational and being a dick. Like,
right. Exactly.
Like, yeah, it sucks to be confrontational, but it would suck a lot more just to be an awful human being and hurt someone so deeply like that.
Right. Put yourself in that person's shoes. Like, if they're on the point where they're just going to, like, fucking peace out, they don't give a shit about that person's shoes. But, like, imagine if somebody did it to you. Not even that person. Just somebody did that to you that you loved or even, like, had this relationship, like, past history with them. Just try to like remind her of that. Like this person is a person, and this person probably has some sort of feelings that could be hurt. And it's just called being a decent human being. Like as awkward as it is, it doesn't need to be deep. It doesn't need to be insightful. It doesn't need to be anything other than at the very ground level, like an open conversation saying, "Hey, I'm going to move."
Yep.
I'm going to move and I don't want to do long distance. I mean, that's your perfect out. Like, I really feel like I'm going to move and I can't do long distance. And so this has been a great experience, but we're done.
Right.
Have to say like, I don't want to be with you anymore. I don't like you. I whatever, fill in the blank. You can just be like, I'm moving and I can't do long distance.
Right. So, there's a big difference between somebody leaving something and they feel bad enough to leave it open-ended and between somebody saying, this is done. Because it's a lot harder when somebody says, I'm moving across country and maybe we can still talk and we'll see. Versus when they have no intention of doing it. Versus somebody being like, I'm moving across country and we're done, because that is hard on the person that has that, that's still in love and has that like glimmer of hope still, right?
Well, but yeah. At least it extinguishes it and gives clear like expectations, so you're not like
right. That's why
pining over someone.
Yeah, I think it's leaving it open. It's leaving it open becomes it's cowardice. It's
yes,
cowardice
yeah. Exactly
on the fat on the person who is leaving.
Exactly.
That it's the same as the non-confrontational. That like at a certain point you're hiding behind it.
Yeah.
And you're not being a good person.
Exactly.
But, like, you care about this person, find the courage, pull up your balls and have that hard talk. Because if you respect yourself enough to do what's right, and I would hope you would respect this person that you've invested 4 years of your life with.
Yeah.
So you respect them enough to have that hard conversation with them.
Exactly. So I guess that's where we'll leave it for this episode. We have some more voicemails for the next episode, which is great. We hope that more people write in, because we would love to, I guess, chit-chat with more people. If you want to give some feedback, the number is 331-BROADS3. Which also happens to be 331-276-2373, or you can send us an email at thebroadcasters3@gmail.com. And in the future, we're going to try to keep these shows between 60 and 90 minutes. Obviously, our pilot had to like go big or go home, like the Lost pilot.
Meandering.
Exactly. That being said, does anybody have any final words before we... call it a day for this week, and then we'll be back next week?
Well, I'm just so excited for this podcast. It's been a pleasure talking to both of you ladies, and I cannot wait to get to the questions for next week. Again, just like you said, Colleen, I think there was like a, you know, quite a bit of like introductions, who we are, et cetera, for the pilot. I think next time we'll get right into your questions. So if you do have anything to ask us, I think you got kind of a taste for our opinions. So if you're interested in what we have to say, send in your questions about anything really, and we would love to respond.
Yes. And a taste of our opinions obviously means that mine aren't that helpful. So I will rely on the other two. For next week.
No. We now know what it's like to be, you know, a woman who's given birth and peace. So, yes. You know, your insight was very useful, I think.
Oh, don't even. Sometimes I walk by the adult diaper section. I'm like, how different would my life be?
We all learned a lot tonight. We all learned a lot.
Yes, we did.
Yeah. I've never done that for the record, though. Like, I've never tried one for the record. I have walked by them and like, do I need that? And then I'm like on Google and I'm like, no, other people have the same problem, so I don't.
It's the next step. It's the next step. You're one coupon away.
I am. That said, we'll see you next week.
Yeah, I guess that's a wrap.
That's so, it.
But excited to talk to you next week.
All right. I guess until next time, anybody want to say goodbye? Oh my God, we got to figure out like our goodbye rotation.
We have to figure out our goodbye routine.
Oh, we need like a call, like a send off.
Yeah. Amanda.
We need our tag out.
I mean, I always go peace out, but like, does anybody else have anything?
I don't know. I'm going to have to think about it. So I'm sure there will be something really clever.
Amanda says bye. Shandy, you have something?
It's more just like a ramble off into the distance until you fade me out.
I think I already did that. You just don't know it yet.
That sounds accurate. That's okay. I accept that.
Shando?
Yeah?
Bye.
Bye.
Peace out, guys. We'll see you next time.
All right. Talk to you next week.
Bye.